Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've blessed us with this day. Oh, so many. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word faith, we will turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. Here we see the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is definitely a faith-building record here of his resurrection. As it reads in John chapter 20, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre." Just a little side note here, the other disciple is actually John, and it shows how John wasn't puffed up with pride. And in the record here, he just names himself as the other disciple. As it continues, "So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Verse 9 is a very interesting one, because we have read over and over all through the Gospels where the Lord specifically told them that he was going to be crucified and would rise again the third day. But yet, here it says that they didn't know it. That's because they hadn't really heard it, received it, and believed it. They had heard it, yes, but they did not believe it. But we can't be too hard on them. They had not yet received the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. So they were still in doubt, still weak. But here it clearly says that, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Verse 10, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the foot where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. This is very interesting here, where they are in that room, closed up, and he appears to them in that room. Being able to take that glorified body and be able to be transported where he wants, when he wants, and be in that room. not just in the spirit, but in a body, because they're able to touch him and be able, he actually consumes some food and so forth. So as we see this unfold, he tells him, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And that goes to all of us, to be sent out. That great commission. He rose from that grave. He finished his work. And he's telling us that we need to go out and spread the gospel. Tell others about that. To tell others the faith-building knowledge and understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord with all power and all authority. And power and authority over the grave, over death. Be able to grant us everlasting life. To have a glorified body as well. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost immediately when he did that. It was some 50 days later that they actually received the Holy Ghost. And continue in verse 23. "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Kind of bullheaded there, you might say. Kind of stubborn. Kind of skeptical. But you know, he's been given a lot of criticism for being skeptical. But being skeptical is not always a bad thing. We need to know without a doubt the confidence that we can have without a doubt that Jesus Christ is who he is and has done what he has done for us. Thomas was doubting what these other folks said to him. But note the response of the Lord. Verse 26, "And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." Once again, appearing in that room, in a body. Reads 27, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Note, be not faithless. He was building the faith of Thomas. Just as when we have doubts, when we have a diminishing faith or an inadequate faith, we can trust in the Lord that he can and will build our faith if we ask him to. As it continues, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Seeing him, he believed. Touching him, he believed. It took that for Thomas. In verse 29, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's a beautiful statement there. That blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That would be us of this time period. We were not there. We didn't walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ for some 3.5 years as he was doing his earthly ministry. We didn't see his risen body and touch him, interact with him for that 40 days that he was still hanging around preaching and teaching. We didn't see him ascend to the Father. But yet we believe. And blessed are we that believe and haven't been right there in the presence of him, in the physical presence of him, and believe. We have a special blessing given to us. He's blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. As it continues, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." By believing, by trusting in Jesus Christ, by living in Jesus Christ, you can have that glorified body that he displayed to them. Have that everlasting life. Have that relationship, that eternal relationship, permanent sealed relationship with God the Father, available to us. Merely believe in Jesus Christ. And if you lack faith, ask for it. He'll build it in whatever way it takes to be able to build your faith, just like he did for Thomas. And know that we can trust his word and all the many, many recorded witnesses of the event of his resurrection. And as we can turn over to Acts chapter 1, we see some more records of this ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, the time period here is 40 days after his resurrection. And here in Acts chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I love that part of it. Being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is where we get where he was around some 40 days preaching and teaching after his resurrection. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wonderful statement there. Letting them know, as well as us, that the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost is available to us, and that when he comes into us, that he will give us power, and that we will be able to go out and witness to the world what the Lord has done for us, how he has changed, how he has transformed us into a new creature, with hope, with faith, and go out, like he says, and share that with others. And also here he's indicating that it's going to all the world, not just to the Jews. He's sending them out to the entire world and points out the Samaritans, because the Jews and the Samaritans at this time were not getting along. So he's saying, even going to those that beforehand you were told not to even talk to. Now he's sending them out. And it says, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And spread the gospel all over the planet. Verse 9, And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's a faith-building verse right there for them, to give them the encouragement of knowing that you've seen him raised from the grave, you've seen him some 40 days sticking around preaching and teaching, you've seen him ascend to the Father, and letting us know that just as you see him go up, he's going to come back and receive us to be with him. Like he says over in John chapter 14, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's awesome. Showing him that, telling him that, giving him that revelation, and the indwelling Spirit comes to them 10 days later, as we see over in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? See, what you've got to understand is this is the Jews that were scattered about all the way back in the Old Testament when the Assyrians had come down and conquered the northern kingdoms and scattered the tribes. They grew up in different regions, learning and knowing the languages of those other regions. They would come back to Jerusalem for the holy days and the holy feasts and so forth. And at this time, they were coming for Pentecost. And now hearing these folks speak to them in their languages, understanding them clearly. That's what the purpose of tongues is being able to communicate to others that normally you would not be able to communicate to, given you the understanding and knowledge of another language. That's part of the blessing of the Holy Ghost, to allow you to be able to learn another language. And that's what it is designed for. That's what it is used for. Many people today will take the gift of the tongues and use it to bring glory to themselves. So get up there and spew off a bunch of stuff that nobody else can understand or hear, just to show how holy and righteous they are. They're indwelt with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and have the ability to speak in tongues. Look at me, how great I am. Attitude that they have. And that's wrong. That's completely and totally wrong. The gift of the Holy Ghost was given to all of us that are truly born again Christians. The indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost comes into us, gives us many different miraculous gifts and fruits of the Spirit. And we utilize those to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to bring honor and glory to ourselves. So be very careful with the things you're blessed with. Use them properly. Use them in the right way. All right, as it continues, he talked to all these folks, all different kind of languages were being represented there. And in verse 9, it starts going into the list of that all the way down to verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bold Peter stepping up there, delivering the truth, delivering the message, delivering the Word of God, preaching about prophecies, fulfilled prophecies that they're able to witness right there. To see these things unfold. And a little bit of prophecy there about the last days he throws in the mix as well. Awesome that they have been given that. And it comes from the power of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. They go out and they start doing the task that was given to them to spread the gospel. Preaching and teaching and baptizing and healing and all kinds of things that they're allowed to be able to be a part of. And we all got to understand and know the opportunities that the Lord gives us as well. Opportunities to serve. Opportunities to be a part of the ministry. And as the the church grows and grows and becomes bigger and bigger. The leaders, the apostles, the bishops, the leaders of organizations start to develop a framework of the early church. As we see over in Acts chapter 6, pick it up here in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Now, this isn't just merely like being a waiter or waitress serving tables. He's speaking here of looking after the things that are beyond spreading the message, to preaching and teaching, beyond the preaching and teaching, that they needed to focus primarily on the spiritual side of the task of looking after a congregation. As it continues, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." This is where the churches have reached in and seen this guideline, this format for establishing seven deacons in a church to do the business side of the church, to do the ministry of reaching out to the people for their other needs other than the spiritual need that the pastor takes care of. In a properly organized church, you have this setting where the pastor can focus on the preaching and the teaching, the prayers, the spiritual needs of the church, and all other matters are taken care of by the deacons, by the others that are appointed to take care of the tasks that they've been given the blessing, opportunity, and ability to be able to do. As it continues, verse 4. "But we," meaning the disciples that were the spiritual leaders, "but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Pointing out here Stephen specifically, and these others as well, notes them, that they were full of faith. That is the key thing when choosing someone to be a worker within the church organization. It has to be, needs to be, somebody who clearly is a born-again Christian and displays a true faith, filled with faith in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Then they have this opportunity to be a part of the work of a ministry. And Stephen, being pointed out here, was one that was acknowledged for having great faith, and he would take that great faith and go out and spread the gospel as well as an evangelist, not only doing the work as a deacon, but also doing the extra work of spreading the gospel, telling others. And he tells a group of folks that don't appreciate it too good, and they didn't like what he was saying when he gave them the gospel, didn't like what they heard, and were angry at Stephen, as we see here in Acts chapter 7. Pick it up here in 51, after a group that he was speaking to were really riled up and rebuked what he was saying, criticized what he was saying. And then here in verse 51, Stephen comes back with this. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, actually began to bite him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeling down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Stoned to death. A horrible, brutal death. Being bombarded with stones. Thrown from people full of hatred. Who had, as he says, resisted the Holy Ghost. They had plugged their ears. They did not want to hear it. They did not want to know the truth. They were stuck in their religious ways and did not want to receive the truth that was being given to them, freely given to them, but they denied it. They denied the Holy Ghost. They were purely of Satan, and they killed Stephen. Stephen calling out to God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, just like the Lord Jesus did on the cross. Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. Doing the work of the Holy Ghost, doing the work of the gospel, doing the work that was given him the opportunity to be a part of, spreading the gospel. Because we got to understand and know that we are given the opportunity to do a part of the work that the Holy Ghost is doing. Because the Holy Ghost is one that's going out there reaching folks, calling them in, convicting them. And then we get the opportunity to be a part of that work as well, just like Stephen did here. We're not all going to get stoned to death. Some of us, yes, might get persecuted greatly. Some of us might get beaten. Some of us might even get killed in the process of spreading the gospel. But we, like Stephen, need to stand true, stay faithful in our belief in Jesus Christ. Stand on the foundation of God, have the faith in Him, and you'll be fine through all of it. Because if you start your time to leave this world and you get killed through the process of spreading the gospel, from be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So praise the Lord, no matter what you're going through, stand solid on the foundation of Jesus Christ and keep the faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you revealed to us from your word. Help us to always realize that, to dig into there and find that message and apply it. Thank you oh so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.